Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia. So good to have you with me once again. Thank you for joining me for this installment in our year's theme, Taking Another Look, as we start a new series topic, No Other Gods. The Lord, our Creator, has given us everything we need for life and godliness, and it is all written in the Word of God. God bless you today. Amen. I give glory and honor to the Lord God Almighty. Amen. I give Him glory and honor because all power, all glory is His. He is our Creator. He's our salvation, our provider, our strength. And in a time of trouble where we are actually in the same trouble globally, amen, we have the same enemy at this time. Amen. I give Him even the greater honor because He is the one that's going to bring us through. He's the one that's going to bring us out. He's the one that is covering us even right now under the shadow of His wing with His might. And though this disease, this plague may seem quite virulent and quite contagious, the Lord is our covering. He is our help in the time of trouble, a present help, His word says. Amen. And as we go forward, amen, in this new series, No Other Gods, amen, declaring that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, amen, the God of all heaven, the one who Abraham called Almighty, glory to God. Amen. He is God. He is God. Hallelujah. And He's the one that's going to bring us through and to bring us out. Amen. The Lord God wrapped Himself in flesh and dwelt among men. Amen. Hallelujah. He came in among us, and He knows exactly what it feels like to be in this flesh. He knows how we wear out easily. He saw how easily distracted we were, even in these bodies. Although Jesus, amen, who was wrapped in flesh, amen, the incarnate God, amen, though He was fully man and fully God, He got to see for Himself, amen, what a sacrifice to have the God of heaven come down among men, amen, and show Himself, amen, and show us how much that He loves us. There was no other sacrifice that could be made for our sins. All the other sacrifices that were made were imperfect sacrifices, and they were but a shadow of that was to come. He was prophesied from the very beginning in Genesis, after the fall, after the disobedience of both Adam and Eve. It was prophesied that there would come a redeemer for all of mankind. Glory to God. And we are living in a day when we can look back, amen, at the beginning where the Lord created the heavens and the earth, and where there was the fall of mankind, and where it was prophesied that there would come a Messiah, amen, that would mortally wound the enemy that brought us to this downfall. And because of that sin that had entered in, that death that had entered in, disease and plagues and even the earth, amen, was subject to the death that had entered into the earth from the very beginning. Glory to God. And the Lord, He spoke, amen, to Adam and Eve, and He told them exactly what would happen. And he actually told the serpent, amen, the curse. He pronounced the curse over the serpent because of the curse that He initiated into all of mankind. Amen. And it was prophesied down through time that Jesus would come forth through 40 and two generations. Amen. And we have the privilege and the honor to be able to see all that God has done from the very beginning. And even the words that He was speaking in the midst of His children, and how, amen, He chose the children of Israel to be a light to the Gentiles. He chose them to be exclusive, and He foundry about them and gave them a set of rules and regulations to help them to continue to be a light and to focus them on the things of God, because this is the God, our Creator, amen, the God that has all power, amen. And we know through reading Scripture, amen, that Abraham, amen, was called Glory to God. The Lord chose him, and there were others that even before him that the Lord chose. Glory to God. Amen. And who were gracious men and women of God, and who obeyed the Lord, even though things were chaotic all around them. They continued, amen, to keep their eyes focused on the Lord. Amen. And we also know through Scripture, and I'm not going through this according to the books. Amen. I'm just speaking to you tonight. I'm kind of off cuff at the moment. Amen. The Lord gave, he blessed so many down through time, amen, as they continued to keep their eyes on him, and he would visit them and speak to them, and he would bless them, and he would deliver them, and he did that so many times, amen. And he told Abraham, amen, he chose Abraham, amen, and Abraham was the beginnings, amen, of God's chosen people. He told Abraham to leave the place that he was and to go to a place that he would show them, and he let him know several times over that his people would outnumber the stars in heaven and the sands, amen, the sands of the sea, and that we know, amen, as we read the word of God, because we have this privilege and this honor of having this spread out before us, and we can see it for ourselves, the history, amen, that has been written, and the great people that the Lord has used to be a light, amen, to the world. Amen, we see what God has done, amen, and the Lord has formed his people and even let Abraham know that his people would be in bondage for 400 years. Amen. And we see in Scripture as we read, amen, Genesis and we read Exodus, that the people of God were in bondage for 400 years, and they cried out before the Lord. They cried out before the Lord to relieve them of that bondage. Amen. But even when they were in bondage, many of them, amen, and many of them, I mean, chose other gods, gods that had no arms and no legs, gods that had no eyes that could see, no ears that could hear their cries, gods that did not know them, did not create them, and had to actually be created by them. So many times they chose those gods, even down through the Judges, we read where they chose other gods. Amen. And the word of God lets us know that they eventually the elders, amen, who he had brought out of Egypt, they died off. Amen. And the young people began to pick up the gods of the other nations where the Lord had delivered them out. They would pick up these other gods who they did not know and did not know them, nor could they have any feeling for them at all. And yet they would pick them up anyway because they wanted to be like the other nations, though the other nations did not have the living God. And I have gotten a little ahead of myself, but I am going to go back a little bit. But when the Lord did deliver them out of Egypt, amen, he gave to Moses, amen, a set of standards for his people. And the very first of those standards was that they were to have no other gods, no other gods. The Lord expects absolute exclusivity. Glory to God. And I do have a definition for the word exclusivity, including or not admitting other things. So they were not to admit into their lives, into their standard, into their way of living, into the way of thinking, other gods. And that's no matter what the other gods were, no matter what it was, they were not to serve in any way, shape, form, or fashion other gods. Amen. That standard is still the case. Amen, to those that know the Lord, and even those that don't know the Lord, this standard is absolute, and it is exclusive. The Lord demands exclusivity. Amen, and Moses did give them that word, and we know, amen, even as Moses was going up to receive the word from God, they were down, amen, in the valley, in the wilderness, erecting a god. Amen, and Moses ended up destroying that first set of tablets and had to go back. Amen, and have God handwrite another set of tablets that had the Ten Commandments on it. And as we know in reading scriptures, those commandments were the basis, amen, for 613 laws. amen, that they were to follow, that were to keep them, amen, aligned with their relationship with God. Amen. This series that we're entering in is called No Other Gods. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you as humbly as we know how, thanking and praising you, O God, for your mercy and your love and your kindness for us. I thank you, Lord, that we can never, ever, ever be separated from your love. No living thing, no created thing can ever separate us. Lord, we know the enemy of our soul and the enemy, Lord God, your mortal enemy, Lord God, wants to separate us, oh Lord, but he cannot separate us from your love. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you humbly, Lord God, asking, Lord, to open our eyes and open our ears to see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us as globally, as human beings, no matter what nation or what continent, what city, what state, what village, what republic we are part of. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to us, Lord God, in our native tongue. Speak to us in our common language. Speak to us through heavenly language. Lord God, just speak, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, that we might continue, Lord God, to call on your name and look to you and to you alone. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless us. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal us. Father, in the name of Jesus, deliver us. Oh, God, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. And I am going to go directly to Exodus. Amen. We're coming from Exodus chapter 20. Verses 3 through 5 is where I'm going to take you. And I didn't intend to be before you very long. I actually have already said more than I intended to say. I did not realize I was even going to be quite that wordy. But I hope you receive something from it. I'm telling you, from my heart, I care for every soul on this planet. And I am concerned. I am concerned that we are not looking to God in the way that we should. I'm concerned that we are so fearful at this time, and that fear, we're going to talk about that for a minute as well, amen, because I need you to see something tonight, because we do, as a human community, a community of human beings, no matter where you are in the earth, from the remotest ends of the earth to the center of the earth, wherever human beings are, we need to be calling on the Lord. Amen. Because he is our deliverance. He is our salvation. He's our deliverer. He saw this plague from its very origins. He saw it from the beginning, and he sees it from the end, because he is the eternal God. So he already knows what the solution is. He already has the answer. But it's important for us to see and to know, and even to declare to our friends and families, that we must have no other gods. It doesn't matter if you have been taught from a very small child to the point that you are in your adolescence or your teen years or your adulthood, or maybe you are one of our elderly and honored. Amen. It doesn't matter where you are in your lifespan. Amen. God is a God of exclusivity. I mean, he will not have other gods before him. And there are repercussions for putting anything before God. We must have him first in our lives. He must be first. He demands it. He commands it. There's no other way around it. This is that. This is one of those it is what it is kind of things. There will be no other gods before him. So if you choose other gods, then there are repercussions. There are consequences that follow those that true and living God. And also keeping in mind that when we're putting other gods before him, whether they be other people or other things or whatever it is that we have placed before God, that those things are not gods at all. Those things cannot number the hairs on our head as the living God can. Those things cannot feed us as the living God does. Those things cannot heal our bodies as the Lord does. Those things cannot save us from our
sins as the Lord does. Those things cannot deliver us from this plague as the Lord has and will and does. And then not everybody is experiencing the same thing, though we are all affected by it. He will have no other gods before him. I mean, there is a no admission sign, amen, before God, that no other gods will be admitted because they are not gods at all. We have called them gods, and that's with a little g, because they have no power. They have no power. You actually have to give them power, and you don't have all power, so you have no power to give them as well. I mean, it seems like an oxymoron even to have other gods. And I like the way that Jeremiah put it, and we will talk about that later. I don't want to even give you that scripture. But there was a point where the Lord was speaking to Jeremiah, and it sounded like, seriously, you're going to go, who does that? Who chooses other gods that have no power? Who chooses other gods that can't deliver? Who chooses other gods that can't speak to them, can't hear them, and can't do anything for them? And you have, and yet we do. We have done that. Amen. But in these scriptures, the Lord was letting his people know the standard. And remember, these are God's chosen people that he was speaking to, those that he had just delivered out of bondage, because they had already done those very things. They had chosen other gods. They had done those very things. And the God of heaven heard their cries, because some of them, many of them, had come back to him, Lord, please deliver us, deliver us, deliver us, forgive us, deliver us. Amen. And the Lord did exactly that. And with mighty hand, amen, he delivered them. Amen. And he actually thrust plagues upon all of Egypt. But those in Goshen, the people of God, amen, they were covered by the hand of God. And they weren't subject to the plagues. The plagues did not touch them. They did not touch them. But all of Egypt was subject to every single one of those plagues. And even that last plague at the end, and I'm going to mention this just because we're coming up on Passover, amen, because that was actually part of it. That last plague, amen, when the death angel came and killed every firstborn and every household in Egypt, the Lord had given them instructions, amen, and this was the night before they were about to make their great escape, and he was about to deliver them from their bondage that they had been in for 400 years. The Lord had given them instructions to kill a lamb, and I'm just going to put this in my own words, and go back and look at it. Read the book of Exodus. Go back and look what the Lord has done, amen, because we're asking that same God, amen, to deliver us, to pass over us, to cause the death angel to pass as well in the midst of this plague, amen. And that's what we'll talk a little bit further about that, us crying out again before the end of this broadcast. But the Lord had told them to put the blood of that lamb on their doorposts. So they were to put it all around their doorposts, up at the top of the doors and to the sides of their doors. Amen. And the death angel would pass over them. Amen. And they celebrate Passover. Amen. Because the death angel passed over them, and because the Lord delivered them out of bondage. Amen. They celebrate Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Amen. In this season. And we're coming up on that this coming month. I believe Passover starts on the 8th of April, and I believe through the 16th, because it goes Passover through the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So follow along with that, because these are important, and I find it striking that all of this is happening in this season. Glory to God. Amen. Let's listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Glory to God. Let's go back. Amen. So the Lord had given them a set of the Ten Commandments, and the first of those is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is Exodus 20, verses 3 through 5. Shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, He said, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Remember, I said absolute exclusivity. There's a no admission sign. No other God shall be admitted. The Lord is not having it. We have to serve the Lord and him only. No other gods. No other gods. No other gods. Exclusivity. He demands it. And we, no, this is a it is what it is kind of thing. You do not get to choose. You can't have this God and that God and serve the true and the living God. You can't have this God and that God and call Jesus your Lord because you're a liar. He demands exclusivity. There will be no other gods. And when there are other gods, amen, we see what happened with the children of Israel when they chose to be like the other nations, and they chose the other gods of the other nations that truly were not gods at all. They had to be formed by them, and they could do nothing for them, could not even deliver them from the bondage that they end up caught up in because they chose them. Glory to God. And they had to call on the true and the living God to deliver them time and time again because it's a hard lesson to learn. Amen. We and the Lord knows our frame. He knows we are fragile. He knows that we are distracted easily, and he set things in place even to help them with that. And they were to train their children in every generation. They were to have frontlets on them. Amen. They were to wear the word of God. They wore it embroidered in their garments. They had it on their foreheads and around their necks. They had reminders before them. Even when you're looking at another person, you should be able to see the word of God on them because they actually wore it as part of their apparel. The Lord sends reminders. Amen. And those were the things he did then, but now, in this day, in the age of grace, when Jesus has come back and he has died for our sins and he sent back a comforter, the Holy Ghost, that will remind us of those things that are written in the Word, those standards of living, that standard of holiness, of godliness. Remind us that we are to have no other gods, put nothing else before him. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those other things we have need of, he'll add those to us. But God first. God first. God first. God first. We have gotten so busy, amen, in our daily lives that we have forgotten. We've basically swiped God left. Amen. And we've forgotten that he is God and he ain't having it. He is not going to have any other gods before him, no matter what that God is that you chose. It might be your children. It might be your husband. It might be your job. It might be your shoe collection. I don't know what that might be for you. But what I do know is collectively we have made the mistake of pushing God behind us or pushing other things in front of us or in front of him, and we have not given God the honor that is due him. He is our creator, and he is the only living God. He is the only one with the power to save, and we need his salvation, and we need it now. And the United States, it has now become the epicenter of this plague, and we need the Spirit of the Lord to move in every state and every city and every individual. Amen. As I am praying, and I have been praying since, for a long time, amen, for all countries. I'm not just praying for my country. That's selfish, and it's not love. I am praying for every country under the sun, for every human being that has ever been born, for all that are being born even right now, for those that are in utero. I am praying that the Lord deliver and that he brings forth salvation with his mighty hand, amen, because he is the only one who can save. Those technologies and those things that we rely on so heavily in the science and all those things, they could not have that knowledge without the Lord, because the creativity and the talents that we have now is because we were created in the image of God, male and female, and he gave us a portion of his creativity. So we all have within us gifts and talents and creativity, and the Lord has placed one in one place and another in another place, but we cannot lift up our creativity above God. We cannot lift up our talents above God. We can't lift up our intellect before God. Because he has all power. He's all seeing and all knowing. His creativity is far far beyond even anything we could ever imagine. His talent is beyond anything we could ever imagine. His knowledge is beyond anything we could ever imagine. We cannot lift those things up above God and think that we're going to be okay. We can rely on our scientists. No, we have to rely on God. He has all power. He's all seeing and all knowing. He is our creator. He is the one that framed us. He knows exactly what's happening in these bodies, and he knows exactly how to stop it. So we must return, amen, to God, amen, and put no other gods before him. Absolute exclusivity is what the Lord demands. And yes, this is what it is. There is no option. We shouldn't want to opt for anything else because he has taken care of everything. Everything that we have need of, it's in the Lord. Everything we have need of is in him. No matter what it is, no matter how small or how large, it's in God. It's in Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. I told you about, we were going to talk about the fear that is happening also. I mean, people are so anxious right now because they're not looking to God, or those that know the Lord. I mean, it's scary. It is absolutely scary. But the Lord has given us scripture to remind us. I mean, it's reminders, constant reminders, amen, to take our eyes off of what's happening around us and look to the Lord. We have constant reminders in the Word of God. People of God, those of you that may not even know the Lord, or even you might think you do and maybe you don't. I don't know where you are or what your condition is, but what I do know is we all need Jesus. Every single last one of us on the face of the planet, no matter where you are, you need Jesus. Amen. We need the Lord because we don't know what's happening. We don't know what's going to happen in the next day, in the next 2 weeks, in the next month. And they have given us projections, but they're not God. They are not God. No matter what they're saying on the news, no matter what the specialists have said, they are not God. And the last word never belongs to them. It always belongs to the Lord. So I wanted to give you scripture about concerning anxiousness and even being fearful. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. Again, telling us, look to the Lord. And then go to him with prayer and supplication. Make your requests known to the Lord. Those fear, that anxiety, pour it out before God. Let him hear it. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And, you know, I think it's important to read that particular scripture before I'm reading this one from 1 John 4 and 18 because of the nature of fear. There, and it's 1 John 4 and 18, it says, "There is no fear in love, and God is love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears was not made perfect in love." And there's another portion of scripture that actually says, this one says, fear involves torment, and it most certainly does. We make ourselves crazy when we're afraid of something, and about 90% of those things never even happen, doesn't even come close to our house, but we're afraid because of what we think might happen. We heard what happened to somebody else, or we heard what could happen if we did this, that, or the other. But if we keep our eyes on the God of heaven and not our eyes on other people, not on other things, and forget about those things that we had set before God from this day forward, and looking to God to be our salvation, he will move. I love the scripture in Jeremiah, I believe it's 33 and 3, where it says, "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of." Glory to God. No other gods. Amen. Make a vow to the Lord today that those things that you set before him, you're going to put them down even right now. And begin to talk to the Lord and cast all of your cares on him. Amen. And let him know that you're sorry for those things and change your mind about the direction of your life. And let the Lord begin to direct your path, and he will show you the way to righteousness. He'll show you the way to holiness and the way to good health. And he will show you the way to wealth if that is the way that he wants to direct you. But just know that everything that you have need of, it is in the Lord. It is not in your power. It is in the power of God Almighty. And that is what we need right now throughout the planet, in every household, in every state, in every city, on every continent, in every village, in every republic. We need the power of God to move on us. Amen. No other gods. And God anoint you in the mighty name of Jesus. The word of God lets us know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and his name is Jesus, he shall be saved. He shall be delivered in the name of Jesus. And by the power of God himself, begin to call on Jesus. Forget about those things you used to do and change your direction. Let God change it for you and show you a new path, a path of truth, a path of righteousness, a path of wholeness. No other gods. God bless you.